Hello, everyone. Thank you, Carrie. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Guiding Lights. And the Guiding Light is the time that I read directly from the Bible, and then I share with you the interpretation that I am seeing as I read. And I'm reading from the book of John, and I am in John chapter 15. And last week when we were looking at John chapter 15, we were looking at Jesus' command to his disciples the evening at the Last Supper, as we call it, the evening that he was later arrested and, of course, the next day crucified. So this was among his final instructions to his disciples. He said, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." And what we looked at deeply when we were looking at this portion of the Bible very carefully last week is that true love comes through being inner-focused. We talked about the fact that it's the ego that is outer-focused. But when we turn our attention around and we are inner-focused, the guidance that comes then is from the spirit or the benevolent universe. And it's that which is for the higher good, and therefore it is love. So we do not love one another by looking outward and assessing what love is or what love would do. We love one another by looking inward and following that intuition or that spontaneity. Today, we're going to read an interesting section from chapter 15. It starts at John chapter 15, verse 18. And the heading that is on it in my NIV Bible is, "The World Hates the Disciples." Again, this is a part of Jesus' final instructions to his disciples. And so we'll get to that and we'll read that and we'll see what's there. What I'm going to do before I get started is I'm going to play a song. This song is by Kirtana, and it's called Living Truth.
How many story lines
you, Kirtana. All right, so what I will do is I will begin by reading from the Bible at John chapter 15, verse 18. And again, the name of this little story in my Bible, or this little section in my Bible, is "The World Hates the Disciples." This is Jesus speaking to the disciples among his last instructions to them. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now that they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of Truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." Well, first of all, before I start going through this line by line like I usually do, I want to tell you a story that it brought to my mind. When I was scribing NTI, and in fact, when I was in the book of John, and who knows, maybe this is the section I was reading. I don't know for sure. It's possible. But I know I was in the book of John. And I was scribing, and sometimes what would happen while I was scribing is I would also have a vision. And these visions could be pretty realistic. Almost as if I was transported into a daydream. That's what I mean by a vision. And so one day while I was writing in TI and I was in the book of John somewhere, I had this vision that I was a Jewish man during Jesus' time. And I don't know exactly what my profession was, although I suspect I might have been a merchant. What I do know is that I was a man that was considered by, you know, pretty much everyone in the community to have good judgment, to have good sound reasoning and good judgment. And I saw myself that way too. I saw myself as having good sound reasoning and good judgment. And whatever little town I lived in, Jesus had come to my town. And he was standing up on a rock so that his voice would carry a little further. And there were a crowd of people, you know, I don't know how many people, I would guess 40-ish, you know, by a crowd, around 40 people listening to him. And I was standing at the back of the crowd and I was listening to Jesus. And Jesus was teaching. And my thoughts were saying that he seemed like a really nice guy. But he was as crazy as a lunatic. And as soon as I had that thought, that he was as crazy as a lunatic, the vision ended, and I heard the inner voice, what I called the Holy Spirit, say to me, "That's what I want you to be." And I knew exactly what this meant. The Jesus that I saw in this vision was not concerned about what people thought of him. He was not trying to say things in order to please the people. He was simply speaking the truth as it was coming to him. He was letting the spontaneity say what the spontaneity would say. And I knew that that instruction to me, that I was to be crazy as a lunatic too, meant I was not to use good judgment, you know, what the world may call good judgment, in order to filter the message and make it more acceptable. I was always just to say the words that I was given to say and not be concerned at all about how those words are received. So that's the first thing that came to my mind when I read this section, "The World Hates the Disciples." And I have, I think, always lived up to that command. In fact, I remember one time in particular when I was in Louisiana doing a gathering, and my mom came. My mom lives in Alabama. She lived about 5 hours away from where this gathering was, so my mom came. And my mom is a Southern Baptist. And in that particular gathering, you know, I was just sharing as I felt to share, and I was telling some stories that some of you all have heard me tell before, because they fit with the teaching. So telling stories about the time that I was an apple, telling stories about my experience with the towel rack in Shanghai, and other stories. I don't remember which stories, but, you know, I was just sharing like I always do. And at some point in the gathering, somebody asked my mother, you know, "What do you think about all of this?" And my mother is a Southern Baptist. And my mother basically answered that, you know, all she knew was that she trusted me. But the reason I'm telling that story now is even with my mother present, even with my mother's eyes on me, I did not filter the words of the Holy Spirit or the words of spontaneity. I remember also the very first time I went to St. Louis. St. Louis, at that time, was fairly conservative in their study of A Course in Miracles. And all of their gatherings were focused on A Course in Miracles. They really did not go from A Course in Miracles into other types of spiritual teaching. And they asked me to come. And I was very aware of their conservatism. And I remember the apple story came up there, too. I remember I'm standing there at the podium in a little church they had rented for the day. And I could feel the apple story coming. And there was a moment when I thought, you know, these people aren't going to like that story. But then I remembered not to filter the teaching. And I told the story. And there were people sitting there in the church with their arms crossed and shaking their head and giving me dirty looks. I mean, that did happen. But I have also been invited back to St. Louis so many times that I can't even count now. So it's really important that if we are going to be, I'm going to call it right now, the disciples of the Holy Spirit, that we are willing to share the message as we receive it and not filter it because we're concerned about what people will think of us. Or in Jesus' time, there was even the fear of being imprisoned or being crucified yourself, right? And yet even with that potential, the teaching is not to filter the teaching, just to teach as it comes. So let's go back now and let's look at "The World Hates the Disciples." Starting with verse 18. "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you." The thought system of the world and the thought system of clarity are, you could say, opposite thought systems. And so when we represent the thought system of clarity, the world cannot understand us. And, you know, just because we're on the spiritual path does not mean that we represent the thought system of clarity. Many people on the spiritual path, even though they study spirituality and they love spirituality and they discuss spirituality, they still represent the thought system of the world. So why don't we just take a moment to look at some examples of the thought system of the world. Hi, Cindy. The thought system of the world believes in sides of an issue, right? We have the Democrats and the Republicans. We have, we even have ISIS against, and what's the other very famous terrorist group? Al-Qaeda. ISIS against Al-Qaeda. They're even on different sides. We have the two different sides of gun control, the two different sides of abortion. The world believes in sides. And the world believes everybody needs to join a side. You know, pick your side. The world then believes that my side is right. Your side is wrong. If you agree with me, you are right. If you do not agree with me, you are wrong. The world believes in attack. Now, what the world would call good people do not believe in violent attack. But the world believes in, if I'm right and you're wrong, then I can attack you. You know, I can tell you how wrong you are. I can talk about you behind your back, tell others how wrong you are. I can refuse to speak to you, refuse to look at you, unfriend you on Facebook. You know, I can attack, and the attack is justified in the eyes of the world because I'm right and you're wrong. Right trumps wrong. And of course, the world believes in defense, because if you attack me, well, you are unfair. I am now the victim of your unfairness, and I have the right to defend myself, even if defending myself has more attack in it. And if we pay close attention to what happens in, like, a lot of spiritual discussions, we will notice these same characteristics. You know, there's two interpretations, maybe. My interpretation is right, your interpretation is wrong. Therefore, I have the right to attack you. But if you attack me, I'm now the victim of your attack, and I have the right to defend myself, even if that includes more attack. You know, it's the thought system of the ego. If we are listening to the thought system of spirit, we think in an entirely different way. And we don't play the games that the world plays. And interestingly, through our not playing, those who listen to the ego thought system can still feel attacked, because attack is a part of their thought system. And so simply because we are not on their side in their minds, and they believe in sides, remember, they believe in sides. So in their mind, we are not on their side because we are not agreeing with them. We've not joined their team. Therefore, we're attacking them, even if we're not. It's kind of, you're either with us or you're against us. And so because they feel attacked, They attack us. Us meaning anyone who chooses to think and act with the spirit thought system. And so this is what Jesus is pointing to when he says the world hates the disciples. And if you really look at the thinking of the world or the thinking of the ego thought system, you understand it perfectly. If you know that the thought system includes sides, and you're either with us or against us, and if you're not with us, then I can attack you. I mean, if you know how that thought system works, then you understand why the people who are not being involved in that at all and just sharing the spontaneity that's coming to them, being completely uninvolved, are still perceived as attackers. We're perceived as attackers because that perception is a part of the ego thought system, and we're being perceived through the ego thought system. Now, the important thing for those of us who remain aligned with the spirit thought system is that we remain aligned with the spirit thought system. So what we don't want to make the mistake of doing is joining the ego thought system by now perceiving sides. You know, so let me just say, let's just give us the spirit thought system for a second, the color blue, and let's call them the blue shirts. The blue shirts represent the spirit thought system. And let's give the ego thought system the color yellow. Yellow represents the ego thought system, and these are just randomly picked colors. But the blue thought system is somewhere speaking, you know, just speaking at a church or a spiritual retreat or here in the sanctuary, just speaking the spontaneity. And the yellow shirts, the ego, they begin to feel attacked. Those who think with the ego thought system, they begin to feel attacked by what the blue shirts are saying. And so the yellow shirts begin to attack the blue shirts. And if we're here, we'll go ahead and put it here in the sanctuary, our little made-up story. So if we put it here in the sanctuary, you know, they're going to be typing things on the board that are not nice. Right? Typing mean things. Now the blue shirts, at this point, could get pulled into the ego thought system. They could perceive themselves as attacked. They could perceive the yellow shirts as the other team, the opposite side. They could perceive that they need to defend themselves. And they could join that thought system by now attacking back. And this is what we need to be careful about. We need to be careful that when we come into contact with those who are thinking with the ego thought system and therefore thinking with sides and thinking about attack and defense and acting that out, we need to be careful that we do not get pulled into the ego thought system. We want to stay with the spirit thought system. Recently, in a Sunday morning weekly gathering, Dove did the reading. Dove was my reader, and he read from In the World But Not of It by Gina Lake, and then I taught based on the reading. But what Gina Lake talked about in her book is how the ego begets ego, and presence begets presence. So if I am teaching and I am just speaking from spontaneity, and the words are flowing and I'm being the lunatic, meaning I'm not judging the words and deciding what's acceptable, what's not acceptable. I'm just speaking, right? They're not targeted at anyone. It's just the spontaneity speaking. And then someone listening with the ego thought system begins to feel attacked. And therefore, out of defense, begins to type attacking words towards me. There's an opportunity there to get pulled into the ego thought system, because ego begets ego. But there's also an opportunity to remain in presence, remain in clarity, remain in the spirit thought system. And if I do that, there's the possibility that the one feeling attacked will begin to hear differently or see differently, will begin to be pulled into presence as well. Because presence can also beget presence. Now, that's not a guarantee. So, the world hates the disciples, and now we've looked at why. If people did not have a feeling of, you have to agree with me, if people did not have a feeling of sides, there would never be a conflict. Whenever there is a conflict, it is because the ego thought system has been engaged. So Jesus says, if the world hates you, keep in mind it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own because you would be on its side. As it is, you do not belong to the world, therefore they see you on the other side. But I have chosen you out of the world. That's a reminder of the call. We're being called out of the world. And remember, when we're being called out of the world, it's not that we're joining a different side. Even though I use the example of the blue shirts and the yellow shirts, It's not that we're being called to a different side, which is how the world perceives it. Because as we awaken ourselves, that awakening benefits the whole. You know, if you look at the story of Buddha, right? Buddha, once he discovered suffering, because of course he was protected from it for most of his life, but when he went outside the palace walls and he discovered suffering, he was moved by compassion to discover the end of suffering for everyone. It was not a selfish act. And anyone who's genuinely in spirit knows what that feels like, that this is for everyone. So even though the world may perceive us as on the other side, in truth, what we're doing is for everyone. There is no side. It's just the world can't see that. But that's what Jesus is reminding us when he says, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. We are being called by the universe, by the right mind of everyone, even if they are not consciously aware of it. We are being called by the right mind of everyone into the right mind for everyone. So we are not on a side. We stand for everyone. We awaken for everyone. We let go of ego for everyone. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belonged to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. This is why the world hates you. And again, the world hates you because it can't perceive, the ego thought system can't perceive the oneness in the calling, the everyone in the calling. And so the ego perceives you have now joined the other team. You're the enemy because you no longer think like me. And the ego perceives your spontaneous teaching, which is not directed at anyone in particular. It's just words coming, words coming, words coming. But the ego perceives that as a direct attack on me. Jesus says, remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. This morning I was teaching an MPP class. And one thing that happened this morning during the MPP class is that one participant began to read from inspired writing that came through her while she was doing the homework. You know, it's kind of like scribing, right? She scribed a few paragraphs. The Spirit began to speak and she wrote it down and she read it this morning in class. And that does happen from time to time. People receive clarity or wisdom with words and they scribe it and they bring it to class and they read what they received. And one thing that really stood out to me this morning is, you know, we are all at the level of person, we are all so different. We have different lives, we have different personalities, we have different ways of thinking, we have different pasts that have affected us, different experiences that have affected us. Yet, whenever anybody writes from inspiration and brings it to class and reads it, what I hear in the inspiration is one voice. It's amazing because if we sit at a table and we talk to each other as people, we have different opinions. We have different ways of looking at things, different ways of understanding things. We're not the same at the level of personality. But whenever anybody writes from that inspiration, I always hear the same one voice. So when Jesus says, no servant is greater than his master, the way that I hear that is there is only one voice. If you are speaking from spirit, you are going to be speaking that one voice, that one teaching. And if the world hated me when I spoke from that teaching, you can expect they're going to hate you when you speak from that teaching too. It's not that they hated me because of my hair color or my weight or my height, and they're going to like your hair color and your weight and your height better, therefore they will be nicer to you. It's the message itself that they perceived as a threat. And if you are lunatic enough to teach spontaneously without filtering the message, they're going to hate you too. But he also shares the other side of that. If they listened to me, they're going to listen to you too. They didn't listen to me because I am Jesus of Nazareth. They didn't listen to me because I am the son of Mary and Joseph. They didn't listen to me because of my hair color or my height or my weight. The ones who listen are listening because they hear the truth in the message, because they're being called. So when I'm no longer here and you're allowing the message to come through you, even though you appear to be a different person, they will listen to you too because they are not listening to the person. They are listening to the message. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. So that sounds very, very judgmental, maybe, if you just listen to the words initially. But what I feel Jesus is expressing is that there are people who are not ready for this message. They may think they're ready, but they're not ready. They may be ready to hear the message and debate the message and talk about the message, but they are not ready to live the message. And so what he is telling the disciples is, when you share the same message, you are going to run across these same people who are not interested in living it. And even though he uses words like guilty of sin, I feel what he really means is he's telling the disciples not to be bothered by that, not to be concerned about that, not to be distracted by that. Because if the teacher gets into an outward focus and starts noticing the ones who always show up to listen. They keep showing up to listen. And yet, they continue to live from the ego thought system. It can get very frustrating for the teacher. And so Jesus is warning the disciples not to look out. Not to look out and see these ones that continually show up, continually listen, maybe even tell you how much they love the message, but no change occurs in them. He's just saying, disregard them. They were that way with me too. Disregard them. Don't let that distract you. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now that they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what is written in their law. They hated me without reason. Again, this is his last message to the disciples. So he is preparing the disciples for some of what they will face, helping them to see they do not need to be distracted about it. They don't need to take it personally, which is really a very important message, because as soon as we start taking something personally, we have entered into the ego thought system again. So if they can see this, that the people who appear to love spirituality but actually love the ego, right? The outward appearances, they're always showing up for the meetings. They always talk about how great the message was, but then they continue to live and act and think with the ego thought system. So they appear to live spirituality. That's their mask. Even, it's not that they're dishonest, consciously dishonest. They're fooled by their own mask, you see. So they're innocent. That's why the word guilty here doesn't mean anything. They're innocent. They're fooled by their own mask. They appear to love spirituality, but in reality, they are still loving the ego thought system, living from the ego thought system, acting from the ego thought system. Jesus wants the disciples to just see that as the way it is. It's just the way it is right now for those ones. It is as it is, and not to be concerned. So really, he has warned the disciples about two different groups of people. There's the people who will see you as on the other side, and therefore they will attack you. And then there are the people who will appear to love you, appear to love the message, and yet you will notice that they still live from ego, that there is no change occurring. But he has also talked about the third group of people, the ones who will listen. And if anything, he probably wants to focus the disciples' attention on the ones who will listen. Just kind of disregard, you know, maybe there's 25 people in the room one day, and seven of those people are attacking you. And 15 of those people are loving the message, but not really taking it in, not changing. And then the few that are remaining, though, the very few that are remaining, the two or three that are left, this is why you do it. You speak for them. They're listening. So don't be discouraged by the masses. Jesus says, when the let me turn off my texts. There's a funny text. I won't tell you about it, but it was funny. I will tell you. One person is asking me if another person gave me a birthday present. And I'm curious now why this person wants to know if the other person gave me a birthday present. But we'll get to that later. It's kind of a funny text. When the counselor, of course the counselor is the spirit or clarity. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. This again is Jesus telling the disciples, speak the words that are given. Without concern for whether you're being attacked. And without concern for whether people are really listening. Without concern for whether people can even understand. I'll tell you a mistake I made one time. I used to teach the 7 steps for awakening on Sunday night, like I do now. But earlier, I used to teach the 7 steps to awakening on Sunday night. And I began to get the feeling from the comments on the board, from what people were typing, that they did not understand a word that I was saying. And I'm sure that if I read the comments that were on the board now, I'd probably get the same feeling. They're not listening. They don't understand. And so what I did was I quit teaching the 7 steps to awakening. And after a time, I don't remember why, maybe just this calling, this inner itch, I started teaching it again. So now I'm back to teaching it. But you see what I did when I quit teaching it, because I did not see understanding in the comments on the board. That was the error that it's one of the errors that Jesus is recommending against now. I was looking out to see if people were understanding, and I did not see understanding, and so I quit. If we feel inspired to teach or to share, it is not our concern whether people are listening or understanding. We are just to share. And maybe there's only one person out there on the radio, the sanctuary broadcast, that we never even hear about who's listening. And maybe all of our speaking is just for the one that is speaking and that one that is listening. That's still worth it. It's not up to us to judge if the people are understanding. It's just up to us to speak the inspiration that we feel to speak. So this is what Jesus is teaching here. And that concludes that section, The World Hates the Disciples. So I'm going to go ahead and start John chapter 16. I think that this is actually still a part of the same little talk because it doesn't have a new heading. So even though we go to a new chapter, it's probably a continuation anyway. So let me read the first part of chapter 16 that does not have a new heading, starting with John 16:1. All this I have told you so that you will not go astray. They will put you out of the synagogue. In fact, a time is coming when anyone who kills you will think he is offering a service to God. They will do such things because they have not known the Father or me. I have told you this so that when the time comes, you will remember that I warned you. I did not tell you this at first because I was with you. So if one of us is teaching in the sanctuary or somewhere else, and we start seeing people attacking us, hopefully what's going to happen in the future is any attacks will be handled through our sanctuary policy process because we really aren't supposed to have attacks in the sanctuary. But even before it gets handled, because the administrator needs to send a reminder of the etiquette, and then if it continues, then red dot them. So we may see one or two little attacking comments that happen even before the sanctuary administrator is able to handle it, right? So if you're teaching in the sanctuary and somebody starts telling you how you are full of crap, you don't know what you're talking about, remember that you were warned this would happen if you were speaking truth. Be encouraged, not discouraged. Don't be knocked off kilter so that the spontaneity, the inspiration stops. Don't jump now into your judging mind where you start checking the message that you're speaking to see if it should be said. Don't move into doubt. Let the sanctuary administrator do their job and handle the comments that really aren't acceptable in this room. Close your eyes if you need to, and stay with the inspiration. Jesus says, I have told you this so you will not go astray. So you will not leave the inspiration when the attacking begins. And the same thing if you look out on the room, and again, it's not attacking, but there are people who are typing comments, and you can tell their comments, although they might think that they are aligned with you, they really aren't. You can see that they aren't understanding, that they aren't grasping what you're saying. Don't leave the inspiration to try and explain to them. You see, you can actually leave the inspiration with your own judging mind, your own ego mind, and begin to try to explain the teaching. Jesus doesn't want you to leave the inspiration. Jesus doesn't want you to jump back into your judging mind. Jesus says, there were those who did not understand me. Or there were those who thought they understand, but they did not ever live it. And it's going to be the same for you. And I'm telling you this so that you will not go astray. So that you will not leave the inspiration. So that you will not leave the spontaneity. So that you will not get involved in the ego thought system. Let all of that be as it is. Cindy has just typed, I don't teach, but I do share inspired thoughts. Sometimes doubt comes, but I share anyway. Let me share something with you. When I was writing NTI or scribing NTI, that was such a hard job. I mean, that was such a hard job because, first of all, when the scribing is coming, I mean, it's so clear that it's not from the me mind, the person mind. And it's so clear that it's not from the me mind because the me mind is learning from it. It's not coming from what the me mind knows. The me mind is actually learning from it. It's definitely from beyond the me mind. So while scribing, there was certainty, even when there was resistance, and sometimes there was great resistance, but there was certainty that it wasn't coming from the me mind. But then when I would come into Pal Talk and I would share it back in those days, nowadays I don't experience much what people would call attack. But boy, during those days, there was a lot of it. In fact, in those days, I remember one person even called me the Antichrist. People literally believed that I came into the Course community to deceive them. And the only real scribe was Helen Schuckman. And I would be teaching right here, and this was called ACIM Gather then, but I'd be teaching right here, and people are typing all of these things as I'm teaching. And I would get scared. I would get scared that even though I knew at a conscious level that I was innocent, I would get scared that at an unconscious level, this was all just coming from the human mind and that I was making it all up. And the reason I got scared is because it appeared no one agreed with me at that point, at that time. And I was still looking for those who agreed. When I would go within, not looking out, the only prompt I ever had was to continue to trust the teachings that were coming through me and practice them, live them. And it was through trusting the teachings anyway, even though so many people were saying I was so wrong. Trusting the teachings anyway and practicing them in my own personal life and my own personal challenges that I came to find they were right teachings. How do I know they're right teachings? Because they worked for me. So when people disagree with you and that doubt arises, see the doubt as the ego simply trying to stop you from walking down a path that eventually will result in its death. Trust your wisdom, but even more, practice it. It does no good at all if you do not live your wisdom. And there will be great challenges. Nobody ever told you that this was going to be easy. There will be great challenges where the ego thought system wants you to return to its arms. The ego thought system will be promising you that if you come back to me, I will save you. I will make everything right again. And at the same time, the ego thought system is going to tell you, if you keep walking with that inner voice or that inner spiritual wisdom, you're going to screw everything up. And you have to have the wisdom to know that's the ego just trying to stop you. You have to have the wisdom to trust the wisdom and to live the wisdom. I remember a huge ego attack I had just before NTI was done. I had just finished writing Jude, and I had not yet begun Revelation. And there was this huge ego attack, so much fear, I can't even describe it. And what the fear story was telling me was that I, once upon a time, was a sensible, reasonable person, and I was now stepping into insanity. And if I didn't get away from this spiritual stuff, which was just crazy stuff, I was going to lose it entirely. And that particular weekend, I was with some spiritual people, who were demonstrating a bit of insanity. You know, like, you know how you can go with the ego, you can go into spiritual teachings in a way where you're denying, you know, it's like Jesus says, to deny the body is an unhealthy form of denial. You can use spiritual teachings to deny reasonable world stuff, right? You know, maybe like you hear about the guy, there's a guy that I heard about who started driving the car with his eyes closed. Or people who say, I'm not going to look both ways before I cross the street anymore. I'm just going to trust spirit. You know, they become unreasonable. And I was with people that weekend who were like that. And so my ego is telling me, you better stop this spiritual stuff. You're going to end up crazy just like them, just like them, just like them. But fortunately, that broke when these same people were telling me how they were sitting on a park bench and there were people walking by and they were waving at the people as they walked by. And my ego started yelling, see, they're crazy, they're crazy. And I thought, wait a minute, I wave at people when they walk by. I always have. And at that point, that's when I saw that the ego was lying to me. Like the lies up until that point, I was believing and I was panicking. But when the ego told me that lie, it's like, wait a minute, ego, I don't believe that. And when I didn't believe that, the whole thing fell away. The whole thing fell away, and I moved back into clarity, and I was able to continue on and finish NTI, and I was able to practice NTI and all of that. But I'm absolutely certain that the ego was trying to stop me there by getting me to doubt my own wisdom. So just as Jesus is warning us here that there will be those out there that could cause us to go off kilter because they're attacking us or we can tell they don't understand or whatever. And if we pay too much attention, we'll go off kilter. There's something inside of you that can knock you off kilter too. We'll call it doubt. That's the word Cindy used, doubt. But it can be extreme doubt. Don't let it knock you off either. Don't let it lead you astray either. And with that, I think we will end for today. So next week I'll come back and I'll start at John 16, verse 5, and it's called The Work of the Holy Spirit. All right? So thank you all for hanging out with me. Bye.